The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Welcome back to the Schmozone, episode 103. I'm Dave Schmolenson, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen Yee with Helen Yee Sports.
And today's guest is undefeated UFC strawweight Tatiana Suarez. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's weird.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
You can move these however
because
you want.
I know you had quite an eventful day, right?
Yes, I did. Very eventful.
Yeah, I know, like, car problems, everything.
Yeah, and then, but I made it to everything that I was supposed to, so that's good. I had PT, I had strength and conditioning, I had this. Then I'm going to go probably do some MMA grappling and then hopefully top golf.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I pushed everything back, so now it's all kind of tight. But it's okay.
Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah,
and
I appreciate
it. Well, speaking of PT, because I know you and I, we caught up back in April.
Right.
And you were kind of giving me an idea of how, like, your healing was going and when you were kind of anticipating getting back in the octagon. So yeah. Is there kind of an update with that?
Yeah. So I was doing really well. And then I was grappling almost, like, every single day. And then my knee started to get more inflamed, like, when I started doing stand-up and stuff. So I think I'm going to have to push it back a little bit. Like, I was thinking maybe July, but now I'm, like, maybe September, hopefully October maybe. But I don't know. My brother was like, maybe you can jump on that Paris card. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I do not want to go to Paris.
Oh, really?
No. Like, it's not fun to go somewhere far when you're fighting.
Yeah, the jet lag. And
yeah,
everything.
And then just like, I don't know, exploit it. It's like by the end, you just want to get home. And well, Paris is really far, so it's not like a hop. You know what I mean? It's like okay, a long flight back home. So,
for sure, I can't believe we're approaching 3 years. June 8th of 2019,
right.
UFC 238.
Yeah,
you beat Nina Asternoff. That was the last time we saw you in the octagon.
Yeah,
8-0.
Yeah. It's been a while, so I can't wait to get back in there. So hopefully September. Or whatever. Hopefully. I mean, I feel really good, like, when I grapple and stuff, which is obviously my strong suit. It's just, like, for some reason, when I did stand-up, like, it started to swell up. And no one kicked it or anything, so it was just, like, very strange, like, how it just started to... I honestly think it could be bursitis. I actually have history of bursitis. Like, when I was in high school, you know, I wrestled, obviously, because I wrestled since I was really young, but... In high school, it blew up, and I literally had, like, huge knees. Like, they were, it looked like, honestly, it really did look like boobs on my knees.
It's okay. We're uncensored here.
I was like, these look straight. Like, it was really strange. And I had both of them on both knees. And I wrestled like this for, like, an entire season. So, yeah.
Was there, like, fluid built up in
the
knees?
Yeah, it's a fluid. So, like, it's very painful because, obviously, when you shoot and stuff, like, it hurts. And, like, I just had surgery. So, like, there's, like, fluid in there. And then I'm, like, trying to get, like, full flexion and everything like that. And then, obviously, come back from this, like, severe knee injury because it's not just, like, an ACL. Like, I tore also the outside ligaments as well. So, which is a little bit harder to come back from because – the outside ligaments, they're in control of the flexion. So when they're tight like that, it's really hard to get your flexion back. But when you add inflammation to that, it makes it even more difficult because it's just like so much inflammation there that it's hard for it to bend.
Do you feel like you've been battling injuries more as an MMA fighter than you were as a wrestler?
I didn't even really have any major injuries until the end of my career with wrestling. I didn't have any surgeries or anything, but I was also very young. Like, I retired from wrestling at, like, what, 21 years old? So I'm sure if I continued to wrestle, I would sustain more injuries. Like, obviously, I had a severe neck injury. That's why I didn't wrestle anymore. And so then, and then obviously because of that, I found out I had cancer and stuff. So like I was able to get diagnosed and like properly treated for that. So like that worked out well for me, you know. So, but yeah, I think I'm just, you know, as you progress through your career, you're bound to get a little bit more injuries. Mine just happened to be like, well, this injury. I've never had a knee injury in my life, but I got really unlucky. Actually, someone asked me like prior, maybe like 2 weeks before I got injured, like, oh, have you ever injured your knees? I'm like, no. And then I injured my knee 2 weeks later. I was like, I swear, I've got jinxed. So you really need to do the knock on wood just to make sure.
I always tell David, even yesterday, I forgot what we were talking about, but he was like, oh, I've never, or this, like, certain thing has never happened to me. And I'm like, you got to knock on wood. If you can't find wood, you have to knock on your head.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're doing your swim meet coming up, right?
Yeah, next weekend. I'm so nervous.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, it's been 16 years since I last swam in USA Swimming. So even just like re-registering in it and then they tell you about like USADA and I'm like, trust me, I understand the USADA protocols and how strict they are and stuff.
Yeah, it's very strict.
Yeah, but
I just don't use anything. So
like except chocolate even. Milk.
Yeah, chocolate milk.
That's like the best recovery. That,
you know. It is. It's supposedly it's supposed to be really good for you. That's why they have it at the PI, I guess.
But last time we spoke too, back in April, about your return, and then hopefully we'll see you in September. Are you still planning on 125?
Yeah, okay. I'm still going to do that. But then eventually I'm going to go down. I'm not staying at 125. I just want to just not focus on my weight cut and, like, just focus on my performance because when you add all the other stuff, like the weight cutting and stuff, that's just, like, way too much stress. Like, every time I get a fight, I know I have to cut weight. I get stressed because I don't want to cut weight. But this time it will just be a lot easier because I won't have to cut it would be like little to no weight, you know what I mean? Because like usually when I start camps, I get down pretty easily, like to, you know, like 130. So, and when I used to fight at 115, I would stay at 130, like even if I was like eating anything I wanted. So it was like not that hard of a cut because once I got down to like 125, I only cut like maybe 9 pounds a week of.
Well, speaking of 115, though, a lot has happened since April, right? Like, and we spoke about the Carla versus Rose fight, and then Carla beat her, and
well, Carla's last loss was to you. You're the last person to beat Carla Esparza.
I don't really know if she really beat her, but I don't even know what that was.
What did you think of that?
I'm still trying to process it. The other day, me and this guy, we were, like, walking towards each other, and we kind of did, like, the, you know, when you do that, I was like, what's going on here? Is this the Carla and, like, Rose fight, or what's happening here? Because, like, we were just, like, didn't know which way to go. It was really strange. But, no, it really was. It was, like, the battle of the faints out there. I don't really know how do you even score that fight? Like, what was the scorecards? So, actually, weird story. I was in Atlanta when I was watching this fight, and my phone mysteriously broke. I kid you not. Like, right after the fight. I didn't even know who won the fight.
Wait, it broke?
It literally stopped working. Like, my screen literally just
after
went.
After the Carla and Rose fight?
Yes. Like, I didn't get to see Gaethje versus
Oliveira.
Like, I have yet to see that fight.
But you know who won that fight.
I know who won because, I mean, eventually. Yeah.
You got a phone.
We're not living in under a rock.
Yeah. So eventually I got a phone. And then, I asked my brother, like, who won the fight? And then he was like, oh, so-and-so won the fight. Because I was with my grandma, so I just used my grandma's phone. Yeah. And then, it just stopped working.
Wow.
So it was really weird. Like, supposedly people were probably blowing me up because.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was the last person to beat Carla, so everybody's like, oh, that's your belt, blah, blah, blah. You know how that goes. And so then,
But you know how that was the rematch, and then Carla beat Rose in the inaugural fight for the
strawweight title?
Yeah.
So were you, like, surprised kind of what happened? Because I know that rematch, it was 8 years after the first fight, and just, like, how Rose performed.
I was very surprised at how little she did. Like, she was just so scared of the wrestling. And I honestly don't think that Carla is that much better in that department than Rose. So I felt like Rose could have done, she could have grappled with her a lot more, and it would have been fine. Like, I felt like she could have beat her in that department. Like, she went, she fought, what, Wiley Zing or whatever?
Yeah.
And she grappled with her a lot during the fight.
Yep.
And she did well. So, like, I was very surprised that she didn't just try to grapple more. Like, why not go on the ground? Like, why not?
And I don't think, in terms of strength, that Carla is physically stronger than Weili, or that they're at least probably similar on similar levels in the strength department.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I fought Carla.
Yeah.
So I know her strength, right? And so, yeah, I don't think so. I don't know.
It's interesting.
I'd have to fight Weili to understand.
And she's got a big fight this upcoming weekend against Joanna.
I can't wait.
Winner of that's probably fighting for the, not probably, is going to be end up fighting Carla for the title.
Yeah, that'll be good. Can you imagine Joanna versus Carla if she wins that fight?
It'd be a rematch, and I think Joanna's already beaten her, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. So, like, I just think, like, that would be an easy fight for Joanna. There'd be another, well, that's what I thought about Rose, but. Man, Carla's going to hate me after she sees this interview.
Well, I was going to say, but there's got to be something, there's got to be some sort of mental edge in already having a victory over in an opponent and having a rematch, you know? I think maybe Rose had some trepidations going into the fight for the takedown. You know, she choked her out, she took her back in that first fight. You know, she wanted to keep it standing, she had a game plan, and she was, you know, maybe a little too stubborn to a fault to stick to that game plan.
Right.
And that's why there was such little activity, and...
I think she maybe got, like, I don't know, just maybe anxiety or something out there.
It's very possible.
Has she been interviewed since the fight happened?
I haven't seen her do any interviews. Yeah. I've only seen Pat Barry do interviews since.
And what did he say?
Well, Pat, what was weird for that fight, not weird but different, I feel like Pat was kind of her main person in the corner, kind of the lead role over Trevor Whitman in her corner for this particular fight, more so than the other fights I've seen, the recent title fights. So I just think that they had a game plan. She stuck to the game plan. And even when the game plan wasn't going her way, even in the championship round, she still stuck to it. And that's why we saw such little inactivity.
Yeah, I was wondering why, like, did they tell her at all, like, to, like, pick it up during the fight or anything? Like, maybe...
I feel like...
I have to go back and watch it.
I just feel like there was no urgency.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't feel like there was any sense of urgency on her end. I'd have to go back to watch it, but even just being there live...
Like, I can't imagine being in, like, a world title fight and, like, doing that little and then being, like, at the end of the round, being like, I won that round. Like, I would not be confident going in. Like, I'd be like, did I win that round? Did I lose that round? I don't even know.
But then also as the champion, it's the challenger's job to take that belt from the champion. So maybe you have that psychologically going in the back of your mind. Is she doing enough to take this belt away from me? Maybe you have a little bit of that going on in the corner as well.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
On a side note of kind of what you said, like, if after a round you'd be questioning, did I win that round or did I lose that round? What's your thoughts on open scoring? Like, do you think they should implement it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see what's the argument against it? Like, that's what I want to know.
Argument against it is, let's just say you have somebody who's up a couple of rounds, right? What's to stop them from just coasting in that final round, or if it's a championship?
Well, I feel like if someone knows that they're winning for sure anyways, you know what I mean? Like, why would they would probably coast anyways, right?
Well, but you would never fully know that you're winning. But it's but if you know that you're winning, you're up two car. If, let's say it's a 3-round fight. You know you're up, you know, 10-9s on both first round and second round.
Well, I feel like even then, like, say I'm losing, right? And you're saying it makes someone coast, right? Well, it's up to me, right, to force a fight. So if I'm, like, chasing someone around trying to beat them up, they're going to have to fight me anyways, right? So, like, I feel like either way, there's going to be a fight occurring, right? Like, I mean, how much can you really run around the ring?
Well, or if that person who's up's a wrestler and just kind of just sits on the person or just, you know, peppers them across the cage, puts the weight on them, lean on them, and not engage them.
Toe stomps, maybe?
Yes, toe stomps. Hold them down on the ground, side control the entire fight or the entire round. That's probably the fear.
Well, if you can't get up, then you lose.
Yes. Maybe it's hard just saying this to a wrestler.
Like, people are always like, yeah, you just laid on them. I'm like, it's their job to get up. I don't know what to tell you. What the hell?
I love it.
I'm like, it's like, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, if we were in a street fight and I got you on the floor, who won, me or you? If I'm on top of you, you can't get up. Who won that fight?
It's over. It's over. That's why wrestling is the best base to have in MMA.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you'd be on World Star. It'd be really, really embarrassing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think yesterday there was like a Twitter video of like these two girls just fighting. I don't know. It was random.
It was like it World Star?
No, but World Star just reminded me of that. But what about, speaking of like the flyweight division in Valentina, mm-hmm. she's fighting Talia Santos.
Talia Santos? Yeah.
Sorry.
I still think that Valentina will beat her.
Why is she so much more dominant than the competition? Like, why when she fights and defends this belt, she puts on a clinic and the other girls just don't seem to be on the same level as her?
I don't know if it's just like she's very skilled, obviously, as a in her striking department, but then she's very strong, so she gets the body lock and she does that very well. And she's very like she does position grappling really well. Like, she stays really heavy on top, and then she's very patient on top. And I just don't think that anybody in the flyweight division has the jiu-jitsu, grappling, or anything like that to beat her. Like, if you look at the division, like, I don't know any of the. It's kind of similar to like when Ronda was a champion. Like, there was no buddy that could beat her in the grappling department. She was so much better than everybody in that department. So I think it's just going to maybe take somebody that's a little bit better on the ground or wrestling that could, you know, do a little bit better in that department. And then obviously know how to strike enough to you know, survive there too, right?
Well, someone that you have a win over who's been making a lot of noise in that division is Alexa Grasso. And I think she's coming off her first submission victory in the UFC.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
She's known for her hands.
She beat JoJo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good win for her.
It's a good win for her. Yeah. She's had a few good wins as of late. She's mm-hmm. she's a prospect a lot of people have her eyes on. I guess from you watching her, what's the biggest improvements you've seen from when you faced her to where she's at right now? And two-part question is, do you think that she is a serious contender against Valentina Shevchenko for that title?
I really like Alexa, but I don't think she's I think I had answered this last time, right?
Yeah.
And I still have the same answer, but I just don't think that I don't think she'll beat her. I just don't think that maybe she doesn't have. I mean, I guess I'd have to fight Valentina to really understand, right? I mean, I've only fought one of them, so I'd have to feel Valentina's strength, because when I did fight Alexa, I did think that she was like a strong girl. I just think that I was levels ahead of her in the grappling department. Like, I would say that she's actually one of the stronger girls that I fought, but I was just a step ahead in the chain. So like, a lot of times, like, if you watch any of my fights, it's like somebody may be able to stop my first attack, but my first attack isn't really, like, in my head, I don't think, oh, I need to get this on the first try, because I already know that I'll chain it together to get a takedown eventually. It's just to get my opponent, like, I don't know how to explain it, like, off balance, you know? It doesn't really matter. Like, as soon as I get them against the cage, I know that I'm going to figure it out there. Like, it's just a matter of time.
So when you do return, though, and you said that you want your first fight back to be at flyweight and then go back to strawweight. But mm-hmm. for the title picture situation, like, would you try to aim to fight, you know, to get the strawweight title first mm-hmm. or the flyweight?
I'd probably do, I don't really know. I can't tell you. I have to have my first fight first. Because, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, it probably depends on, like, how I feel. Like, what if I feel really good at, like, flyweight? What if I'm like, oh, man, I feel much better? Because when I do fight at strawweight, I do feel not as strong and, like, kind of fatigued a little bit sometimes. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm not doing my weight cuts that well. But I hired somebody that's going to help me with that. So when I do go back to strawweight, I think it might be easier. I guess I can't tell you yet because I haven't used this person yet. But they're going to help me get down, and hopefully it's going to be a lot better for me. I don't feel super tired in there when I'm fighting. But I know that when I do, you can't tell by my fights, but I do feel not great.
Is this person like a secret?
No.
Okay.
His name's Andy.
Okay.
Andy Gilpin.
But will your camps be in Vegas or?
So I'm only staying out here because of my knee yeah. right now. So I think my first camp's going to be out here because I want to be close by just in case like yeah. anything really, like any type of trouble comes up with my knee. Like, for instance, when my knee started to blow up, I was already here. So they could help me figure it out. And then they, you know, my doctor's here that did my surgery. So we took pictures and, like, messaged him. And he, like, got back to Heather, like, right away. Like, within a minute of, like, sending the picture, he messaged back. So I think, like, it's just better for me to just do this camp here so that I can, like, monitor my knee and make sure that I'm getting, like, all the treatment that I need. And then once you know, I feel like I'm good and I have my first camp out of the way, then I'll go probably most likely go back to California.
Okay. Yeah. As someone who's achieved what you've achieved, Olympic bronze medalist, the Ultimate Fighter, season 23 winner, undefeated in your MMA career, how do you stay confident through all the setbacks, through all the trials and tribulations of this road to recovery, almost 3 years out of the UFC now, itching to make that comeback? How do you stay positive?
Well, that's a good question. I don't. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing. No, I was actually talking to, I don't even know, my brother. I think I was talking to my brother about this. I just thought it was funny because I told him, like, I was very honest. I was like, it's just hard, you know, always being positive. Like, it's like I have my days, you know what I mean? Like, everybody does. Like, you go through your days where you're really positive and you're motivated, and then there's days where you're just like, this really really sucks, you know, like, and that's just life in general. Like, everybody goes through stuff, you know, like, sometimes we feel like we're on top of the world, and then other days you're just like, I don't really know what's going on with life today, but, you know, but I don't know. I think it's kind of one of those things where it's like, it sounds cheesy, but it's just like, you have to survive, right? So it's like I'm just gonna, like, be like, you know what, I give up. I don't know how to explain it. And then not only that, but, like, this is so ingrained in who I am. Like, I've been an athlete my entire life. Like, I couldn't imagine not doing, you know, a sport. Like, when I didn't, you know, after I stopped wrestling and stuff, and I was, like, I wasn't doing anything, and I was just, like, I had a regular job and stuff. Like, I felt really depressed because I was like, this is not really for me. Like, I need to, like, I'm different. Like, I need to be, like, in terms of, when I say different, I mean, like, my mind is so different, like, than a lot of people. Like, it's wired differently. And I need competition in my life, or, like, I don't feel right. And you probably feel the same way. Maybe yeah, that's why you're swimming 100%. 16 years later, right? You said 16?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably how you feel. And so I feel the same way. Like, I feel like I just need to, like, I need that competition. Like,
it's to,
like,
be fulfilled.
And yeah, 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 yeah. Like, it just, I feel like it feels weird without it, you know? So, like, the other day I was having a bad day, and then I was like, my knee's kind of swollen, and I was like, I don't really care. Because I was like, I'm going to MMA grappling, and I'm going to beat everyone's ass today. I kid you not. And then I went and I did just that. But but I needed it. It was like I literally needed it. I was like on the verge of a break. And then I looked at my chart and I was like, oh, it's around that time of month.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. I understand. But is there anyone in particular that you've been training with specifically?
I haven't been training with anybody in specifically, but just like the other day I went to Extreme. I went there and did the class there. And then I was rolling at 10th Planet for a while. Okay. But I had to take off because my knee was acting up. But I think, you know what? I did really well. Like, I think I just need to be smart about who I go with. And I think that's going to be the struggle for me. Because, like, me, I like to, like, go crazy a little bit. So, like, I have to just be calm and, like, maybe go with people that right now, especially right now, where I'm, like, just coming back and stuff, like, where I can fully control everything and stuff like that. Because, like, a lot of times, like, I'll pick the best person in the room, like, the best guy. And then all of a sudden we're like in hard scrambles and it's just not ideal for like my knee when I'm coming back. You know what I mean? Like, cause I'm like exploding and doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, I don't need that right now. Right now I need controlled training. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like doing all the stuff that I need to, but in a controlled manner. So that's going to be the challenge. I'm like pull the reins, you know, cause I do everything hard. Like I'm like, everything hard.
Have you been paying attention to The Ultimate Fighter this season?
You know what? I haven't. I watched the first episode and then I don't know. I just don't really watch TV that often, but I will get to it because I like to watch the show and stuff like that. I've watched every show since my season, so I will watch it.
I think us three are all in the same boat. We really don't watch much TV except really live TV. Sports, but I will catch The Ultimate Fighter.
I love all live. Did you watch the basketball game with the Heat and the Celtics?
Yeah, and actually...
do you think about what's his name going up for that three instead of the two? Instead of just, you know, maybe just going in, laying it up, like, you know, getting that secured too. I mean, let's talk about it.
Well, I mean, I could talk all day about that. I mean, that was my sport growing up.
Oh, really?
I hate the game now compared to how it was when I was watching it. I grew up watching Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls in the 90s. The kids that play the game now are always settling for these outside shots, these three-pointers. I love Steph Curry. He's changed the game.
Yeah.
He's absolutely amazing. He's instant Hall of Famer, Mount Rushmore for guys who have transcended the game 100%. But all these kids now just want to hit the three. They don't want to go for the easy layup or the easy two. Yeah. No one's playing the same defense, so you get scores that are like 128 to 125 instead of like 80 to 76, like hard-nosed defense. So,
like there's not a lot of Dennis Rodmans out there.
No. I was supposed to interview Dennis Rodman a week and a half ago.
What happened?
In Fort Lauderdale, actually. Oh, yeah, actually, Hollywood, California. But it was his birthday the other night, so he was like on a bender, and he slept in till like 6 p.m. in the afternoon. I was supposed to meet him at his local spot.
What was that documentary that they had? What was it called?
The Last Dance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
That changed everything for me. I understand Dennis Rodman so much more now.
He's amazing.
He really is.
He's one of a kind.
He is.
He went to college at Southeastern Oklahoma State. You can really be found any if you're good enough at any sport. They'll find you.
Yeah,
they'll find you. And they found him.
That is crazy. Southeast
Oklahoma. I can't even name it. Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere. There's like 30 students.
And then one of them is Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, and he was like an older college student too.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Because he didn't like go from high school basketball to college.
Right.
I think there was a documentary I watched on him too. But always with the hairstyles and the fights. Women. The women. Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
I think he got married while he was wearing like a bridal dress or something like in New York City. One of a kind. He's an icon.
Great fashion.
Yeah.
He's it's called fashion.
Fashion. Fashion.
Wait, who was your favorite basketball player? Or do you have a favorite?
Well, growing up, I did. I'm from California. Kobe was my favorite. Yeah.
I could have guessed that without even asking you that question.
Trick question. You can't be like from California and not love Kobe Bryant, you know. Yeah.
But like, there was a time where you had to pick between Kobe and Shaq, and I feel like more people ended up signing with Kobe than Shaq.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for sure.
The reason why I'm interested in The Ultimate Fighter too is because of the dynamic between Juliana Pena and Amanda Nunes.
Oh, and what's the dynamic here?
Well, they're going to be fighting for the rematch.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, like, on the show, are they, like, respectful? Are they talking?
I guess they're four episodes in that I've seen, maybe five. They're kind of respectful. You haven't seen much dynamic of those two interacting on camera yet.
Oh, okay.
But they seem pretty cordial.
My season, they were not. I had Joanna and Claudia.
That's where I was leading to this.
It's actually very comical.
What's the best story that didn't make the TV during your season?
I don't think there was really anything that, like, I don't know.
Like, they aired everything.
They didn't air everything, but.
Like, we want to know some
there
drama.
There was nothing that, like, there was no drama in our season, really.
None?
No. I mean, besides the fact that I did not like Amanda Cooper, there was really no drama.
Well, you took care of business. But what, so any feud that didn't involve you that stands out now between the girls on the show?
There was none, really. The only thing that, like, happened was, like, in the very beginning, me and Amanda, like, kind of got, like, in a, like, she got upset because she was like, "You're going hard." And I was like, "Well, I do everything hard. What do you want me to do?"
Very hard.
So I don't think she liked it. So then I was just like, oh, okay. And then I was like, all right, well, then I'll just take it down to like 2% for you then. But
but they like seriously take all of your phones?
Yep.
And you can't talk to anybody?
You can't watch TV. You can't read books.
You can't read books?
Nope, just the Bible. Or the Quran or something.
They don't let you take... They have to let you read books.
No.
What?
No books.
No books.
Interesting.
They do it because they obviously want you to interact with each other.
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're frustrated because you can't watch TV, you go and fight with the nearest person.
Got it.
Or you just talk to the nearest person, and then obviously that makes for good TV, right?
Yeah.
Because then you're telling, oh, yeah, when I was five, I don't know, I ran into a truck and split my head open. This really actually did happen. It sounds stupid. I was like, I was not five. I was probably like eight. But I like was like doing, I don't know. I was a crazy kid.
Well, David split his chin open.
Yeah, but that's because someone pushed me from behind and I cracked my chin open to the side of the kiddie pool. I want to hear about you running into a truck.
Well, like they had like a truck parked and I was like, playing and like I didn't see it, like I was grabbing stuff and like putting it somewhere else, and I grabbed it and like hit my head on the truck, and then I split my head open, and then I was like, oh man, my mom's gonna be mad because she's gonna have to take me to the hospital. So that was my only concern, was that my mom was gonna be upset. Not that my head was, I was like debating not going in and showing her. I was like, I wonder if I could hide this.
It'd be a tough thing to hide.
Yeah.
Need a big hat or headband.
Yeah, I don't know. She was bound to find it eventually. Yeah.
But circling back to The Ultimate Fighter, though.
Mm-hmm.
So in the rematch, Juliana versus Amanda, who do you think wins that one?
That's actually a good question. I don't know. That one's really hard for me. I think Juliana did a really good job at splitting. I don't know if they're going to come back with a better game plan. Because Amanda was throwing, like, you know, Amanda throws looping shots. I don't know if they're going to learn from this. And maybe recognize that they're going to go and stop throwing the overhands. Because Juliana was throwing her cross, not a looping shot. So it was hitting Amanda. So she was matching her in the boxing. She was probably hitting her first, and it was throwing the power off from Amanda, because obviously when you hit somebody first, it throws power off a little bit. So she was splitting shots really well. And then I think it, like, obviously fatigued Amanda. And then Amanda, you haven't really seen Amanda get tested very often. And when you have, she lost. Like, I think she got tested against
the cat.
Cat.
Yeah, Cat Zingano.
And that's the last time I think I even seen her in, like, any type of war or trouble, I think. Can you name another fight? I mean, every time I've seen her, she just beats the living heck out of
anybody. Yeah, she blitzes. Like, we were there when she beat Cyborg in the Forum. Yeah. Blitzed her.
I was there, too. I was literally in shock. Like, I was like, my mouth was open for like 20 minutes. I was like, what is happening right now?
That was crazy. And what's so crazy about that card is literally the week before, because of the John Jones picogram situation, they moved the entire card from Vegas to California. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. And I like, it was cool. It worked out for me because I went.
Yeah.
So it was an awesome card. Like, I don't know. I've been to a lot of great fights. Like, I've seen a lot of great fights.
What's the best one you went to in person that you weren't fighting on?
September 25th. The fight I was actually supposed to fight. I was actually supposed to fight Roxanne, and I got injured. I hurt my knee. And I don't know. Like, I'm glad I went to it. But I definitely wish I was fighting.
The September, was that Volkanovski-Ortega? Mm-hmm. That was great. We were there for that one, too.
That was almost like a different.
That was fight of the year.
Energy. Like, Nick Diaz fought Robbie Lawler, right?
Yeah.
So that alone brought like a lot of energy. There were so many people from California because it's so close to Vegas, and obviously a lot of people from California are huge Nick and Nate fans, right? So people came down from there to support, and and then we had the Volkanovski. Well, obviously, insane fight because one. It was like Volkanovski got out of what, two really one triangle, which Brian Ortega is known for, and then what, a guillotine?
Yeah, the guillotine was really, really tight.
I really thought, I was confused. I was like, how? I still don't know how.
He was
I need
like
to watch
gurgling.
This again.
You could
like,
see
I
the
have
foam
to watch
coming
it
out.
When, I was like, what's happening? And then he got a full-on triangle. Still don't know. Like, I have to watch it again to understand how he even got out that, too. So.
Actually, like, a week after that fight, maybe a few days, he came on the podcast, and we got pretty hammered. We drank a lot. And he didn't even know how he got out. He was like, in the zone where he was thinking about his kids and his legacy and everything, and he just wiggled out of it and found
amazing.
A way. Championship mentality.
Wait, which one did he say was the tightest one?
I think he's talking about the guillotine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, I'm like, he's like, I wiggled out of it. I'm like, but you didn't fall asleep first? Like, that's what I'm thinking.
Right. He found a way. He just found a pocket.
There's a guy that I know that's like that. He like somehow, I swear this dude breathes out of his ears. Like, I'm like, it's like a full-on guillotine. I'm like, how? Everybody else would be like, tap. This guy's, I don't know.
They're not asleep, yeah. Nick Diaz, he recently called out Kamaru Usman. I'm not sure if you saw that. How do you feel about Nick Diaz coming from that Robbie Lawler fight to fighting Usman for the championship belt? That's a little extreme, huh?
I almost laughed. No, I did. I don't really know what's going on. Why? Like, why does he think he deserves it? There's so many more, like, who? I'd rather see him, Khamzat versus Kamaru before I see that fight.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I think he didn't even win the fight.
No, but it's just like Nate Diaz calling out the top guys, too. Nate Diaz has called out Khamzat.
Oh,
no. His brother.
I don't know. I love it. I love the Diaz brothers. You got to respect it.
They're the best.
But I don't think that he's going to beat Kamaru.
No, but you have to respect how fearless they are and through all the shit they've gone through in this sport.
Right.
You know, there's so many things you can say about the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, the respect.
I just
the
love their attitude. They're funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
But I'm still dope. I don't know. I mean, sure. I mean, if you really, I don't know. Like, it's not going to. I don't know. What do you think is going to happen in that fight if they fight?
Well, first off, I don't think they're going to ever fight. So I don't even know if it's worth entertaining.
What
it was
if he just
a fun thing.
Him?
So, I don't think that fight ever happens. But with Usman, I think he needs to get his hands straight. I think everyone was saying he'd be back in July and he'd be defending against Leon. And then
wait, when's the last time he's fought?
Madison Square Garden. We were there. I think it was the end of November.
Yes, it was November.
Oh, November.
Yes. Yeah.
Because then Colby fought Jorge in March.
Yeah, yeah. That fight happened.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? If he won that fight, like, who are they going to have Colby fight next?
Well, I could get into all... We could have this whole conversation. Yeah. I think Colby's in a situation where he can't do anything until this legal situation's stuff figured out with him and Masvidal. Because he can't get into a fight legally, I don't think, because... With the charges, the felonies against Masvidal, and talking about brain trauma, the optics of going into the octagon and then fighting someone again when you have this ongoing investigation.
Wait, did he really? He got like, did he get hurt?
Well, he pressed charges.
He's pressed charges. I mean,
did he get hurt in the what happened? Like what? I know he got attacked.
Yeah,
but I don't know like the severity of the attack.
I think the severity of the attack is kind of murky, the details, but what I do know is he was at a steak restaurant. Masvidal knew he's at the steak restaurant. He's on a full belly. He walks out. He gets ambushed, and he gets sucker punched. I think he got connected twice in the face, and, you know, he's not expecting it. He's not in training camp mode. Like, mm-hmm. He's not expecting to get punched. What I've heard is his tooth got chipped. So his tooth got all messed up, and there might be damage to his Rolex, or some say it's a fake Rolex or whatever, like 50,000, 90,000 to it or whatever the heck, 15,000. I don't know how much money damage, but he got punched in the face a couple of times, and a chipped tooth was the extent I've heard. He's pressing charges. I think I can't see him fighting until that's done. I would like to see him fight Poirier at 170 pounds. Or Khamzat or Gilbert Burns. But I don't think he's going to fight any of them until this is done.
Did he fight Gilbert Burns already?
He's never fought Burns.
No.
Oh,
it's a great fight, right?
Yeah.
That is a good fight.
But so
I would love to see that fight.
I'd love to see that fight too. But Usman, I don't think he's going to be ready till the fall. If you're going to have to wait.
Wait, what's wrong with his hand?
He had to get surgery. I don't think he can make a whole closed fist. He had like ligament damage around his thumb.
From the fight?
I think he's had it ongoing for a few fights, but I think the last fight kind of was the breaking point. Enough is enough, and he had to get it repaired.
Mm.
So, Leon Edwards, right? Everyone talks about Leon Edwards waiting for a title fight.
Poor guy.
But
I feel bad for him because I'm like, yeah, well, Gilbert Burns, Khamzat, even Nate Diaz or Nick Diaz. I'm like, completely forgot about Leon Edwards.
Sorry. Everyone does, but. He 100% deserves to be fighting for a title. Why not an interim title, him and Khamzat Chimaev? Then the winner fights Usman. If Usman's going to be out for longer.
Who was Khamzat's last? Oh, Gilbert Burns. Oh, well, that, okay. Yeah, I think that would be a good fight then. Because, I mean, he got tested in that fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people thought Gilbert won. I thought Khamzat edged him out a little bit with damage and significant strikes, but...
I'll tell you what, he's still crazy. Like, not crazy in a bad way, crazy in a great way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Volkanovski, he's crazy.
Yeah.
In a good way.
He's so well-rounded.
Yeah.
So well-rounded.
Like, that's the thing, though. He's well-rounded, but then he has the craziness to, like, go through a war. You know what I mean?
I think if he beats Max Holloway this upcoming fight for a third time, I think he's the greatest featherweight of all time.
Well, I called it the first time I've ever seen him fight.
Which fight was the first time you
ever saw him? Chad Mendes.
Yeah. That was a big
one. I was like, he's going to be the champion. And ever since then he became champ.
Well, is there a particular fighter right now that you look at and you're like, you know what, he or she is going to be champion?
In the UFC?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I did think that about I thought that about Brian Ortega when I first saw him fight too, and he's had a couple of title shots. And he's had, well, the first one was not great. But the second one, he had a chance.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe if he changes. He did a really good job after the Max Holloway fight. Yeah. Like, he took a long time off.
Right.
Yeah. But he completely, like dedicated himself in certain ways that he probably wasn't before. So it made a difference. Like, he was able to beat Korean Zombie.
Yeah, the striking clinic he put on against Zombie.
Yeah, that was amazing. Great. Yeah, he made a lot of great changes.
Well, what about, like, for example, in the lightweight division, Islam. And a lot of people...
Oh, yeah, he's going to be champ.
Yeah.
That's who I think is going to be champ.
Do you think he beats Charles Oliveira?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I don't think anybody's going to beat him. I think his grappling... There's not many people that I watch that, like, I'll watch their grappling and be like, this is exactly what I would do. And he's actually one of those grapplers where, like I watch their grappling and I'm like, while I'm watching the grappling, I'm like impressed by every step that they're doing. Cause I wrestled my entire life.
Yeah.
So like, I know that aspect of it. And like, I know what I would do. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is like, and like positional stuff. Like, it's like very good positional stuff where it's like, so like, I know that once they get those positions, they're going to be fine. Like, they're going to dominate in those positions. And he's really good at doing that. Like, he won't force anything. Like, he's making sure that everything's like tight. And like, I don't even know how to explain it. There's a lot of people, like, you see those fights where like, they're like, they're losing position every, like, they're like kind of rolling around and you're just like, what's happening here? Like, that's the kind of grapple you don't want to see. Because they're just making a lot of mistakes.
So you think, like you said, you think he beats Charles?
Yes, I do.
Do you think he beats Benil?
Yes, absolutely. I don't even think that Benil has a chance against him.
Wow. Everyone underestimates him.
Yeah, I mean.
7-fight win streak.
Well, I've seen them both go. I mean, I've seen them both fight. I've seen them both grapple. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't. I don't see it at all.
Well,
and they're gonna fight.
Which one? Who?
They're gonna fight again. Benil and.
I don't know. I feel like that situation's turning into an RDA Islam situation where they get booked. It doesn't happen. It falls out. They get booked. It doesn't happen. I'm not counting out RDA as well. I mean, one last push for a former champion of the division.
Yeah.
Two young guys, though. They have a huge fight coming up. Maybe too soon. You want to see them in the top five. And I think both these guys are top five in the making. Mateus Gamrot and Arman Sarukian. And Arman's good.
Arman's great.
His only loss in the UFC was Islam. Took it on short notice. His first UFC fight.
It was a good fight.
Short notice, and I feel like he's got the strength and he's developing the skill set to challenge Islam down the line. He might.
He has a good shot. I do think so, but I don't know. We'll see. He's a really good grappler. Like, I was very surprised, like, watching that fight, how great his grappling was, for sure. Like, he has really good grappling. I don't know if he was a wrestler. Did he wrestle growing up?
Yeah, he's got the background.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Well, on the note of good wrestlers, one of David's co-hosts on one of his shows, Triple C and Schmo Show,
Henry Cejudo
wants to come back.
He does.
Yeah. He's in the USADA pool. He's been tested twice since he's declared the comeback.
Oh, okay.
He wanted Volkanovski to go up to be C4, 145.
Yeah, C4.
Do you think he would beat Volkanovski if he fought?
Well, he's got to fight Aljamain or the winner of Aljamain TJ Dillashaw at 135 first.
Oh, I want to see that so badly.
Aljamain TJ?
No, I just want to see Henry fight at 135. I don't even want to see him really. Like,
you don't want to see him at 145?
I mean, I do, because it's like obviously interesting. Like, will he win? But I really want to see him like just shake up the 135 division again.
Yeah,
because it's just like there's so many, like there's good guys there and stuff. Like, I just want to see it. Like, I just want to see how it all plays out, you know.
Do you envision Henry holding a gold strap again in the UFC?
I don't know. Yeah, he could. I mean, yeah.
That just means, like, is he going to beat Aljamain Sterling? Or I'm trying to word this carefully. Is he going to beat Aljamain Sterling? or TJ Dillashaw a second time, but this time at 135. That's what it would mean, because I feel like one of those two guys.
Are they going to fight next? Are they going to not do the Jan
fight? The Jan fights. Jan with who?
Jan and Sterling.
They did that fight.
No, three.
Oh, no. Three? It's. I don't think they're
going to. You're like, they did that fight. You're, oh, like, yeah. You're not an MMA fan.
No. Oh, but you're saying a third fight.
Yeah.
No, they're not going to do a third fight. At least really? Not right now. I think Jan's got to win a couple more before that opportunity arises again.
Who do you think won that fight?
I don't know. I don't remember. I'd have to watch that again, too.
It's so much different watching a fight on TV and then being there in person. Because you're looking at different things.
Right, yeah. And even, like, when you're watching in person, like, it's like the crowd and the, like, you know, the sound effects. And, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it's a lot more violent in person.
Yeah.
Like, people watch this on TV. They don't even grasp, like,
the atmosphere.
Yeah, and like when you watch it in person, you can hear like people's heads. Like, I don't even know. I mean, you guys have seen it live.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can hear their heads like get hit with like.
Yeah, we heard Chris Weidman's leg shatter on the kneecap.
You were there.
Yes. Yeah, of Uriah Hall.
Oh,
that was brutal.
Gosh.
Brutal.
Yeah,
I would have thrown it.
It looked like Jello. At the end.
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
That was brutal. It's different, too, because we're just at AEW Pro Wrestling, and they got, like, sound effects underneath the ring and the mats. They got cushion and everything for landing.
Microphones.
It's like microphones to add to the theatrics. For MMA, it's just that nice hard canvas and a cage, right?
Man, it's brutal. I remember there was one, for some reason in particular, there was this fight in Fresno, and all the fights for some reason, like, it put me in like in a weird mood. Like, I was like, just like, there was like, just, I think it was because one guy just really got like, he really got beat up, and I could hear like every single punch, and like, just like, I was like, this fight needs to be over. I feel sick to my stomach. And then I think Aljamain got knocked out that fight too. It was like
against
Marlon Moraes. He was out for a long time.
That was the only time he's been knocked out.
There was a couple more fights too, and I was like, this card is brutal. I don't even know. Like, I was ready to go home at the end. People think, like, because I'm an MMA fighter, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know how Dana does it every fight card.
Will you be at International Fight Week to watch?
I hope so. Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully I can get tickets.
Yeah, hopefully they didn't forget about you too soon, right?
Yeah. I really want to. Who's fighting on that card?
Main event is Izzy versus Jared Cannonier.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. And that's soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super like soon. A
and,
month.
And your fellow Extreme Couture member, Sean Strickland, against Alex Pereira.
What do you think is going to be his game plan for that fight?
He's going to have to wrestle.
Okay.
He's going to have to, as he calls it, forego doing the man dance, and he's going to have
to. Is that what he calls it? Have you spoken to him about it yet?
We've spoken a few times. He's quite
even
the character.
Even the other day.
He's quite the character.
What did he say?
A lot.
Yeah. What can we talk?
What do we need to bleep everything out?
Yeah. What did he say that we can repeat on this podcast? I'm not sure.
I thought you said it was uncensored.
It is, but
we don't want to get canceled. We don't want to get canceled.
Yeah, what do you think of Sean?
I like to be nice. So I'm just it's like I'm Switzerland.
That's a good
Got
way to put it.
Yeah. And Volkanovski's fighting Holloway.
That's right. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Co-main event.
Is that like, is that card stacked from?
Yeah.
And Misha Tate, her flyweight debut will be against Lauren Murphy on that card.
Mm.
It's a great card.
She's been at Extreme Couture.
Yeah.
Have
you
run into her?
Oh, I see her. I see her sometimes. Yeah. Maybe we can be training partners or something when I come out here, when I start camp and stuff. We'll see.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hope to see you back in September.
Yeah, hopefully.
Just not Paris.
Yeah.
Just definitely not Paris. I was like, I hope it's at the apex.
and no one in particular, you just anybody at this point?
I think I need to see kind of like where the landscape. Where is everything, like, you know what I mean? Like what's happening at the time. Because
yeah.
I know there's a couple cards that are coming up and I just don't know how they're going to play out. You know what I mean? So like, for instance, the Misha fight and the Laura Murphy fight. Maybe a winner of that one. Unless like they give her a shot after, but I don't know how that works. But
they're not going to give you a, I put in brackets because it's the UFC, a tune-up fight.
I mean, I don't really know what they're going to give me, but I wouldn't mind, you know, that those either of those two. Like, I don't think that's Misha.
I wouldn't consider any of those two opponents a tune-up fight.
No. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. So then either those two or I know Jessica, I was supposed to fight, but who was she supposed to fight? She was supposed to fight Casey O'Neill.
Casey also trains at Extreme, yeah.
But got injured.
Yeah.
So then
she's fighting Macy Barber.
Oh, she's fighting Macy Barber. Yeah, I could fight either of those two either or as well. So,
a lot of options.
Yeah. I feel like I could fight anybody there. I would like any of those fights really.
Yeah, I think for you, you're one performance away of being right back into the mix.
Yeah. I wonder how that would work too, though. Like if I get a win at 125 and then go back down to 115, like how that would work.
Henry always talked about, when we always talk about GOAT and stuff like that, he says it's everyone who becomes a champion, they always go up to the higher weight division.
Right.
But he thinks like a true GOAT status would be getting a championship belt at a higher weight class and going down and getting the belt at the lower weight class after
that. Is that how that works?
That's what he said. That's what he says.
The triple says. C.
Well, we'll see how this works out. Let's see how I feel at 125 first.
Yeah.
And see how, like, my knee feels and stuff. And then we'll go from there. No. But either way, I feel like I'll do well at both weight classes. You know, I don't feel like I'm going to – I think I'll do well. But there are a lot of interesting matchups at 115, too. Like, they have Wally, Joanna. I could fight any of those. Who's that? Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez.
Yeah,
there's so many people. Yeah, Mackenzie Dern.
Man, that would be an entertaining fight between you two.
There's so
many with her jiu-jitsu and your wrestling.
I know. There's so many fights though. Like, I feel like there's not a shortage of people to fight.
No.
And they all like. I really do want to fight. This sounds weird, but I really do want to fight. Like, before she retires, I want to fight Joanna.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that would be a good fight, just because she's, like, you know, she has pretty good, like, takedown defense and stuff. So, like, I just want to. And, like, obviously she's a former champion. Like, I don't explain it. But, yeah, I think it would be a good fight. It would be fun. And, like, I think they had mentioned that after my Nina Ansaroff fight. They're like, oh, you know, it'd be a good fight is her versus Joanna.
So if you were in the position to fight for a title, would you rather fight, if Joanna hypothetically was the champion and Valentina is hypothetically the champion, would you rather fight Joanna 115 than Valentina at 125 if you had a position to choose?
If I what? Sorry.
If it was up to you,
uh-huh,
and you could fight for a title,
uh-huh,
115 or 125, you just said you would love to fight Joanna one day. Would you rather fight Joanna? Because she would be the 115 champ if she was holding the belt?
I think she'll retire first. So I want to fight her first. Because, like, you know how she was gone for a while?
Yeah.
And then she came back?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like, I feel like if someone beats her, she'll probably be like, eh. Like, I don't know how to explain it. She'll just be like,
That could be a possibility.
Yeah. So I feel like I got to get in there before she decides, eh, I don't want to fight no more. Because I feel like Valentina, I saw an interview, she's like, I'm going to do this till I'm 50. So then I was like, okay, she'll be around for a while.
Tom Brady.
I could win like the 115-pound division and then go up like as soon as, because I know she's not going to just be like, I'm tired of fighting. Like, I could go do movies and be a model. Like, she's not going to, I don't think she's going to do that. I don't think she has any interest. Like, Joanna does. Like, she's like, I'd rather go. I don't know what she does. She does.
She's like a race car, Formula One race car driver now, too, or something. She, what? Like, races cars. She does stuff.
Stuff?
I don't know. I mean, she took a couple of years off after that Wei Li fight. This will be your first time in the octagon since that 2019 fight.
Yeah.
Not as long as a layoff as you, but kind of close.
Yeah, so she just... Does she just want, like, she was just kind of tired of it, or?
She didn't want to fight in front of no fans during this whole COVID situation. Okay. And
but there's been fans for a while now.
There's been fans for a while. I just think timing and opponent, like, yeah. She didn't want just anybody. She wanted to fight at the top, and this is the best opportunity to fight at the top. She wanted that rematch.
All the way in Singapore.
I don't think the location was ideal. Heck, I don't think the location's ideal for any of us. We're not in Singapore, but we're going to watch it.
I'm like, I can't imagine, like, having to go, being my first fight back and going all the way to Singapore. That's so far.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
Fuck.
But what were we going to say?
No. Singapore. What are your, we've been going at it for a little over an hour. Do you have any final thoughts? You want to leave all the Tatiana Suarez fans out there?
Oh, I mean, I don't really. Thank you for supporting me. I love all my fans. And that's it. I never really say much about, I don't know, I get kind of shy. Like, overall conversation
you.
I can have, and then I get nervous when I have to, like, say things. Like, they're like, do any sponsors you want to thank? I'm like, I want to thank my mom. I don't know. I just get shy about that stuff. But, yeah, I just want to thank all the fans, and hopefully we'll catch me in September. Preferably not in Paris.
Noted.
Episode 103 of the Schmozone podcast. We are out.